Blog Talk Radio.
Jackie Gleason, The Honeymooners, with the stars Art Carney, Audrey Meadows, and Joyce Randolph.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Friday night edition of Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Uh-oh, what happened there? Hello? Are we there? Eddie, are you with me?
Hello. Yeah, I'm with you.
What's... Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. This stupid Blog Talk website. Okay, there we go. Good evening, everyone. Let's try that again. Thanks for being here with us on a Friday night. Eddie, sorry. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. Hanging in there. Rocking in the USA, as they say.
We'll get to... we'll take phone calls tonight. 646-478-4692. We'll get you guys on the air tonight, and we got a lot to talk about the last couple of games. Got great feedback the other night, Eddie, from the great Jesse Spector interview. He did a great job, and people really seem to enjoy him being with us.
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed Jesse being on. He's a real good guy, and, you know, I like the fact that he's new media savvy. You know, he's, you know, he knows all about the Twitter, the Twatter, the you know, and that's what we're all about too. I mean, you know, we're not getting too deep here. I mean, you know, it's internet radio. This is not terrestrial or other stuff. And you know, we're our main base is blueshirtbanner.com. So that's an, you know, so big ups. I think it's a big win for new media that we had Mr. Jesse Spector on, and I think Jesse had a good time. And I had a good time, definitely.
Yeah.
Although I may have a bone to pick with some of his predictions, but we'll get to that later.
Okay. All right, we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. Real quick, I want to read an email that we got. Hi there. I heard a rerun of the show with Jesse Spector the other night. I enjoyed it through and through. I used to live in Brooklyn as a kid. I moved to Norway in 1973 when I was 8 years old. Even though hockey wasn't the main event in our street, mostly stoop, baseball and soccer in the back alleys. My father got me a Rangers shirt for one of my birthdays. I went back to see them in MSG in 89 or 90. Guy Lafleur scored a hat trick. I think it was against the Kings with Gretzky on the team. It was quite a thrill. Zuccarello has revitalized my passion for the game and for the city I once lived in. I've started to read the daily news again. I work afternoons and nights as a news reporter in southern Norway. When I get home sometimes after midnight and there's a Ranger game in the making, I turn on the 1050 and watch the ice tracker on NHL.com. The sound of the cheering in the garden, the discussions on the boards, and your live radio show, it all gives me a sense of belonging, and it feels great, just great. So keep it up. You guys are good at it. Regards, Frank Merslund, and I hope I got his name right from, here we go, Kristiansand, Norway. So, Frank, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you writing in, buddy, and we're glad you enjoy the show.
Yeah.
And they're having trouble hearing us. All right, refresh the page. Oh, good. Cutter's here. Mr. Big Mouth. Mr. Cutter.
Yeah.
Mr. Cutter.
What's he been saying?
He was just shooting his mouth off the other night before the game. You're going to eat your words. The Rangers are going to lose. The Leafs are going to win. Blah, blah, blah. You guys are going to be sorry. Blah, 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 blah. You know, the way he just rambles on and on and on and on. And then nothing. Your team sucks, Cutter. Sucks. They don't even deserve it to be. They don't even deserve to be in the AHL. They might be an OHL quality team, and I don't care what they did last night against Toronto, against Anaheim, excuse me. That team's terrible. And Jonas Gustafsson, the monster. What'd you say? He's more like Herman Munster. Lily.
The monster.
Team's
guy had
terrible.
Out of his neck. That guy couldn't stop a beach ball with a boat oar. That guy was terrible. Oh, my God. That was horrible. That was Pete Lepresti-like.
And like you've always said, if you suck, you don't deserve a nickname unless it's a good nickname, you know, unless it's an appropriate nickname. He does not deserve the moniker, the monster. The guy's terrible. Terrible. I think Gabrick just scored again off of him. It's a good thing because he didn't score. It's a good thing because I don't think he scored again last night.
No.
He might not score since. Fans get, as soon as he didn't score last night, they get right back on Gabrick's case. And I'll tell you, it's getting ugly about Chris Drury. Oh, it's getting ugly.
It's all got to stop. They only lost the game. Listen, they lost the game. That's all it was yesterday. It wasn't because Gabrick hit 14 goals. You know, like Jim was telling me before the show started, you know, in our Ranger fan minds, we knew after a 7-goal rout that it would be a total Sahara Desert of an offensive. Now, listen, we're used to being surprised this year, looking for a little bit more, you know. The hopes might have been up, but in all sports, no matter what, you know, score a lot of runs or whatever it is, touchdowns, you do to come down a little. And they had a lot of shots on goal. They had a lot of opportunities. It wasn't like some of these past games. They were running with them pretty good in the first period. But Carolina jumped on them early. So, you know, just let's not get crazy yet. I've already been seeing the Gabrick for, you know, Dustin Brown trades plus. I'm like, could you just shut up? You had 40 goals last year. Please, shut up about moving Gabrick anywhere. Thank you. You're all fools if you want him to be up. They only have two elite players on this team, Lundqvist and him, and you want to trade one of them. Give it a
pass. Couldn't agree with you more. And even though they beat the Leafs 7-0 because the Leafs quit, what, after it was about 2-0, they quit in that game? Real hard. Real hard of a champion there in Toronto.
Oh, boy. They packed it in. That was probably the worst effort I've seen from a hockey team this year. They had no interest in working for that game. They quit right from the get-go. They tried to get some things going with fights. It really didn't work. And that was about as bad as an effort I've seen. And I'm not just saying this because I'm Razzie Cutter, but that's just a bonus award.
Yeah, that's it's icing on the cupcake.
That team was horrible. Horrible. But...
And what was funny was the game wasn't on center ice the other night. They were on NHL Network, so it was the TSN feed. So, you know, and they were just tearing into the Leafs. To show up, what did one guy say? To show up for an NHL game and put no effort, put forth no effort on the ice is inexcusable. They were just ragging on the Leafs, and I loved every minute of it. I got nothing against the Leafs. I just wanted them to win so that we could bust Cutter's balls because he's always got an excuse.
Well, I think it was good finally to see, besides the Cutter jubilation, it was good because we finally got to see Gabrick bust out with a 4-goal night. I mean, it was incredible. I was pucks were just going in. And I, when I came away from the game, I said, you know, was it effort or was it just that their goalies were so bad? But it surely was the effort. Gabrick just looked great. And then we find out earlier, I don't know, when did that Dubinsky news come across the wire? Because I heard it right before the game.
I think
you guys at Banter had it first, right?
We were quick on it. We had it early afternoon, I guess, that came down. It really sucked the life out of me. I mean, I just happened to be on Twitter at the time, and I looked, and somebody said, and I saw somebody posted, "Oh my God, what's wrong with Dubinsky?" And I'm like, "Oh no, what?" And I like start scrolling through the tweets, and I saw that a guy from the USA Today, who was the first one to have the news for whatever reason, said he was out 3 to 4 weeks. And then I kind of jumped back into the BBM group that I have with Joe and Dave Shapiro and a couple of the other guys. And I said, hey, Dubinsky's out 3 to 4 weeks. Somebody get it up on the site. And one of the guys had already seen it and was doing it. So yeah, we were near the top on it. But it was just, I mean, that was just heart-wrenching.
Right. I mean, you're thinking about now, Dubinsky hadn't been really scoring, and he'd been how come I'm doing Herman Munster? Op, Lily. No, I mean, I kind of
there goes another goal, Lily. Gabrick scored again, Lily. Better get Grandpa up here.
You can see Grandpa down working in his laboratory trying to come up with a goalie that could stop a puck. Anyway. Yeah, and I was like, you know, Dubinsky apparently had been playing injured on this stress fracture. And he hadn't been, you know, I wouldn't say he hadn't been involved. You know, he hadn't been scoring so much. But he was taking a lot of dumb penalties before that. Like, maybe it was bothering him, and it agitated him, or maybe he was out of the play, and that's why he was hooking, and taking a lot of dumb penalties. I was about to – we may have gotten on him on Wednesday's show about that. At least I think I referred to that. So 2 to 4 weeks, you know, I hear 4 weeks, and I was actually relieved because 6 weeks, that's a real killer. They're all killers, let's face it. You're taking a guy who really has been the heart and soul, one of the heart and souls, but one of the true leaders on the team out of the lineup, and he's going to be missed skill-wise and, you know, the whole nine. And then during the game, Fedotenko goes off. That was in the did he go off in the Carolina game? No, he went off in the Toronto game. He goes off with an injury, and then I'm like, oh. And then I don't. Did you see the MSG broadcast of that?
Of the Carolina game,
or the Maple Leaf game? Oh, you
No, TSN.
Well, they went down to the bench and they panned Jim Ramsey, the trainer, coming and updating at the beginning of the period Tortorella on Fedotenko, and all you could hear him is say, you got to be effing kidding me, and you could definitely see that. Jim Ramsey's like, no. Then he's like, Jesus effing, you know, this, that. And that injury is going to really, for a guy who walked onto this team really basically, and if that's a key guy, because he's a guy that Tortorella goes to in a lot of different situations. He's a guy that Tortorella has a lot of faith in. And the Rangers are just, they are just so, I mean, they're ravaged by injuries. And, you know, Callahan's coming back. He's starting to skate with the stick, which is always good because you want a stick when you play hockey. And so, it's, you know, it's going to be a rough road, you know, to hoe to the All-Star break. They got to, you know, they got to persevere. I take 500 hockey, you know, to the rest, to the All-Star break. I really didn't think the injuries had too much to do with last night's loss. You know, they had 40 shots on net, you know, so, and, you know, Cam Ward's been tough. In that Toronto game, McDonough played 20-plus minutes, and I thought it was a really good move by Tortorella to give him some playing time while they were against Herman and Grandpa Gigante. And I found it funny because we would say this, and then Gigante goes out and beats the Ducks last night. I mean, what was he just saving himself for that Duck game, apparently, the revenge game against his first former team for the first time.
Yeah.
So Jiggy was like flexing in there, and then they brought in the monster and forget about it. It was all over. Hong Kong. the Clarabelle there.
Be out in a minute.
So, any other, the Toronto game, Lundqvist with another shutout, the handsome Swede.
Yeah.
Playing good. Jimmy, I'm telling you.
Seven shutouts.
What do you have, three all last year?
Yeah, three.
Yeah, he only had three shutouts last year. We were hearing smattering. He said, listen, I was on him a little bit in the beginning. He looked very inconsistent. And I'm still going to be, I'm not one of these guys that's going to say he's not elite goaltender. But if he gives them a bad goal here and there and it's a frustrating one, I can't help it. I'm an emotional guy. I'm an emotional girl, as Billy Joel says. And, I'm going to say, he let in a softy. But the overall picture, this guy has been fantastic. I mean, he's just shown he's worth every penny. So, I have no problem with Hank. And I congratulate him. And Artie! Artie and Isimov with four assists. Oh, it was a glorious day for me to see my Artie get four assists. Love it.
Your Artie, huh? My Artie.
My Artie. Artie.
He's like Artie. You're like Jackie Lambo with my King and my Shawnee and my Artie. He's your Artie.
I read for him because he's like that quiet Russian kid. He's a little bit, but according to Jesse Spector, he likes to prank it up with Brian Boyle. So that's good. I like that. I like it because he's so low key, and he's just got that fire in it. Makes him really think he's. I think he's starting to get confidence. He's. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but he's doing that move where he makes the move to the net. He's also pulled off a couple spinoramas that haven't ended up in goals. I'd like to see one end up in goal, but he's been heading to the net more, and that's something I want to see him do. Use that size.
Well, I just thought it was amazing that Avery and Artie, your Artie, and Gavrik are on the same line the other night. And look at the night they have. Avery and Artie on a line with Gavrik. Where have I heard that idea before? I've heard it somewhere.
I know.
Where have I heard that before? Anyway, we know the team is listening. So good evening to the Ranger organization. We love you. We love you.
I don't have access. You. We got a couple people in the chat room tonight because I don't have access to it right now.
We have a gaggle. All the regulars are here. The Seamos clan is here. They have made their triumphant return. The one and only Glenn Sather is here. Costa's here. City Hockey Fever is celebrating his birthday tonight with us. Happy birthday, Paul. Cutter is here. Eric is here from the fivehole.com. Bill Maher is here. Everybody's here. What better way to spend another wintry night on the Northeast than with your Uncle Eddie and Uncle Jimmy?
I mean, what's his name? Claude there. You can't go out in the streets on Long Island. If it's not a main road there. You're snowed in. Joke. Toronto game. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, in that Toronto game, I saw the Angels came down from heaven, and the power play even worked against them. That's how bad the Leafs are. That's right. Power play goals. Could you believe it? Holy manoli, col canoli, stromboli, Chris Camboli. I mean, when you're getting power play goals in Rangerland, there is divine intervention. So
it was funny. I guess it was the who did they play before Toronto? They played the Flyers, and I was on Twitter during the Flyers game, And I said, the Rangers power play is so bad, it should be named the Phantom Menace. It's that bad, right? And I started this whole, it started this whole Twitter discussion of what movies are worse than the Phantom Menace to refer, to call the Rangers power play. Some guy said, oh, it should be Glitter. Glitter was a far worse movie than the Phantom Menace. And I said, first of all, sir, I said, you should be banished for even admitting that you saw that movie.
Yeah, really.
So yeah, it turned into this whole discussion. Oh no, call it this. That's a worse movie. Call it Showgirls. All right. Well, whatever. I'm calling it the Phantom Menace.
Oh boy. Call it Clifford.
Call it what?
Clifford. That one was Adam Martin Short and and Charles Grodin.
Yeah.
So. Listen. So the power play looked good. I'm looking over my notes from the game. I actually took notes, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, Sam and Joe, you didn't hear it, but Sam.
I had far worse. Far worse.
Okay. Well, with the Ryan Bozak, continues. That for some reason, Sam Rosen has a mental embolism when it comes to recalling that it's Tyler Bozak. And he actually did apologize during the show, so I guess I'll give him that. And I think Matt Zuccarello, man, let me tell you, this guy, not only is speedy, he is a strong bastard. I mean, some guy pushed up against him, he pushed the guy back, he almost knocked him over. He's a strong guy. I really think this guy's going to be a player. I mean, you know, I'm not, this ain't a news flash, the guys have been watching him so far. He definitely has the skill set, as they say, to be a really good player in this league. God knows, the Rangers need offense, so good to see that going.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And what else? Is that the game where Dale Weeks got his banana beat in? Who do you fight? Thomas Sarek, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way of putting it. He got his banana beat in.
I mean, he did, man. He got tattooed. He got stunned and he tried to get up and go again, but he got laced into big time. He got worked. It's just gonna happen, you know. So you learn, you know, your way in the National League. This is, it's a tough league, and you know, Dale paid the price. I mean, you know, we've seen even Weiss is a grinder and a guy who hits. But remember when Dubinsky would fight in the beginning? Now he can kind of hold his own, but he was like a punching bag.
Yeah. It's like Michael Spinks in there.
Yeah. And then I got one other thing to talk about in that game that I'd like to address. You know how, like, Sam and JD are always in this giggle fest over, oh, Red Berenson is University of Michigan coach. Oh, that's your, you don't like him, right? Are you playing your Minnesota team, right? Oh, the Rangers have a fascination with American players in the colleges they play. And I have no problem with that. I mean, it's good. But how come they never mention the junior teams that these guys play? There seems to be, like, a lack of education. Like, it doesn't stick out to them that a guy, you know, may have played somewhere else. I find that odd. I find that very odd. You know, it's always like, oh, he went to Michigan. Oh, well, you know, well, Brian Boyle or, you know, this guy, you know. I don't know. Do you have any answer to why they're so? I mean, I know I'm nitpicking, but it seems like, you know, they never really address. Well, it's like, well, Mark Stahl played for the Sudbury Wolves.
Did you know he has a brother in the NHL?
Oh God! Let me tell you. those two minor birds, they've got us. They're like Heckle and Jekyll up there. I mean, they are just You know, I want to reach through the screen and strangle him. It's 2011. Mark Stahl and his brother Eric. It's not a story anymore. It's not a story. Nobody cares. Oh, his mother will be upset if they don't pick him. He doesn't pick him in the All-Star game. Ha, 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 ha. What a bunch of maroons. Somebody needs to slap both of them.
What a nincompoop.
Nick, I mean, come on. We all know it. We're all Ranger fans. We all know it. All hockey fans know it. You watch another broadcast, they don't even mention it. They may mention it occasionally, maybe more so now with the All-Star game. But this has been an ongoing love affair with the Mark Stahl and the Eric Stahl matchup. And these bozos need a – I really are you really looking for that much filler in your broadcast that you have to – there's enough filler in that broadcast anyway.
It's all filler.
It is. I tell you, the first period of every game is how good the other team is. That's the first period. Oh, they're dangerous. Their power plays rank fourth in the league. Bah, 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 bah. This coach has them playing every night, no matter who it is. You know, it's like Margaret Hurley. Yeah, the Islanders are dangerous.
Oh, the great Jeff Skinner again last night. Huh? I'm sure they were going off about him.
Well, I tell you, Jeff Skinner, he's a hell of a hockey player. They showed that ridiculous ballet thing he did when he was 13 years old. I was like, dude, I would have never released that video. Because he looked like a total, whatever. He didn't look masculine in that little pirouette, whatever they call it. I just want to quickly, you know, rank on the broadcast. Because, you know, really, after a loss, I have to blame it on Joe and Sam. You know, they ruined the broadcast. They're usually my punch bag. And, you know, the whole first period is how good the other team is. And they didn't say the game had a lot of pace, which I was waiting because there was a lot of pace to the game. They're like, up and down, look at these goaltenders. This game could be 6-4. Blah, 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 blah. And then the second period, it's all about Rangers of, you know, they're down, and it's, you know, the tone is all low, and Fedotenko, oh my God, and then the third period is basically, Boomer and Carton commercials and promos and the Foxwood Five.
The Foxwood Five. Well, I'll tell you.
They do that on all the broadcasts.
Yeah.
The MSG family of networks. That bunch of shit.
And then they even advertise. Stay tuned for the Foxwood 5. Well, what am I going to do? Shut the game? I'm going to shut the game off?
That's just to not hear.
I don't want to hear the last 5 minutes. Screw Foxwoods. The hell with them. I'm not watching the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, last night on Center Ice, they only had one feed. They only had the Carolina feed. Those two buffoons on the Carolina, on FS Carolinas, make Sam and Joe look like Foster Hewitt and Jim Gordon. The guy,
wow. The
color guy is Trip Tracy, okay? And I can't take anything serious that comes out of a guy named Trip's mouth, first of all. But what a jackwagon. Oh, my God. And then, at the end of the game when Avery was... When Avery took the penalty towards the end of the game, and who was he slashing? Was it Skinner? I don't. Oh, you can't do that in the NHL. He's a dirty hockey player. Oh, blah, 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 blah. I thought this third-rate goalie who was drafted 128th 20 years ago was going to go down and challenge Avery to a fight, old Tripper. What a, oh my, they're horrible. They are absolutely horrible.
Wow. And
they've got their catchphrases that they use, you know, worse than from the side. just terrible. You know, we're going to get to the phone calls in just a minute, guys. I just wanted to play this the other night, and I didn't get a chance. From the Montreal game, John Giannone, who we adore here on this show, we love him, he interviewed Scott Gomez in between, I guess, the second and third period, and apparently Gomez – him and Gomez have a long-standing. I don't know if it's I don't know what it is. If it's just Gomez is just a ball buster, or if he genuinely just doesn't really care for Giannone and kind of condescends to him. So anyway, first, but this goes back a way, and I found an interview that he did with Giannone when he was still with the Rangers, and then Eric from the fivehole.com was able to get me the audio from the other night. So I'm going to play these for you really quick. They're both pretty short.
Each other succeed, and you know, hopefully, but I guess at this time it's time. I mean, we got to pick it up. It's a big month for us, and you know, it's that time of year for the holidays.
Thanks for coming in.
I didn't really want to, but
you never do.
I thought Stan was going to do the interview.
No,
but
you never. That's why we didn't tell you ahead of time.
But when I found out it was you,
For the fans who watch, he is kidding, right? You are kidding? No, he's not.
I think it's true. We honestly don't like each other.
Scott Gomez, our guest in the Infinity Rangers postgame show. Thanks for putting on your long pants for the interview, too.
Thanks for wearing that suit.
All right, we're going to go to...
I mean, it's really funny because Giannone, I don't know. I think Scott Gomez really doesn't like Giannone very much. And I don't think Giannone realizes it. I think Giannone thinks it's like for lack of a better term, it's just playful banter. I don't know. But here's Gomez the other night.
The New York Lottery second intermission report. Scott Gomez is going to join John Giannone as his special guest downstairs. All the scoring in the first period. Rangers scored the first goal of the game. Montreal the next three. Now it's time for the New York Lottery. Intermission report. Here's John Giannone with Scott Gomez. Take it away, John.
All right, Sam. Thanks very much. Always a pleasure to see Scott Gomez. A rather interesting increase in the intensity there after 40 minutes. So what do you make of what's gone on?
Yeah, two teams battling right now for positions in the standings. They're a well-coached club. They a lot of young guys over there stepped up. And let's face it, we need the points. So... both teams, every time we play these guys, it seems like it gets a little chippy, but it's good hockey and it's good for the fans.
Surprised to see your buddy Henrik Lundqvist do what he did there to Pacioretty in the crease?
Henrik, he's got emotions. I mean, you never know what's going on with goaltenders and, I don't know, they're all a bunch of weirdos, so you never know when they're going to snap. So, not surprising. I mean, they all do it and,
How's life here in Montreal for you these days? How do you feel about this team at about the halfway point?
Life's great. I mean, it's a wonderful city, wonderful people. I don't have to talk to you every day, and that's besides not seeing you every day, it's even better. I mean, people don't know what it's like to have a bad day and have to answer questions from you. It's just, that was pretty rough my 8 or 9 years in that area, so...
Yeah.
Besides looking at you every day, it's been great.
Like I said, always a pleasure to see you.
Thanks,
Scott Gomez joining us between periods 2 and 3 and continuing the abuse as...
You know what? I might just start liking Scott Gomez. That's a John Monotone. He probably thinks it's like a teammate thing, like where you joke around with a teammate. Meanwhile,
right.
The guy's just hammering him. He's just hammering him. Spit in his face, and John Giannone's, part of the gang. I'm like a player.
I'll have to send you the first interview when Gomez was still with the Rangers. That I pulled that audio from a YouTube video, and if you watch the video, Giannone's like looking at the camera, like, and you hear him say, "In case you don't know, he's kidding," and he's like, "You are kidding, right?" And you can just see like Giannone really doesn't know.
Right.
I thought it was pretty funny. I got nothing against Scott Gomez. I know Ranger fans mostly hate him. I got nothing really against him. But
everything against him now. He's not on a team. And I know we went through this, about this point production really didn't go way down with the Rangers, but it just was not a good fit for the salary. But now the guy they used that money to get to, we want to ship off. Marion Gaborik. I'm just telling you all out there that want to trade Marion Gaborik, please stop. Stop, look, and listen, because you're not going to get any better than Marion Gaborik. He's just slumping. And he had 4 goals. You can't expect him to score every game. And like I said, they had plenty of opportunities in that game against Carolina. Before we go to the phone calls, I'm like Mr. Notes today. I was, watching the game and just jotting.
You're like Paulie D with the notes.
Nah, I'm more thorough and definitely
okay.
You will definitely gain perspective from something that I actually say. Paulie D's got his notes, where we're going with the show, but, Now, what is your take? I guess I'll pose this question. So far, what are you grading Wojtek Volski right now? What is it, 3 games as a Ranger, 4 games as a Ranger? What are you grading him, on the C to A plus scale, perhaps?
I'll give him a C.
Really? You have not taken to this guy.
I don't see him involved when every time he's on the ice. Yeah, I'll give him a C plus.
Okay. I'm going to go with B minus because I've seen him actually have a lot of opportunities to make plays. And you don't see that a lot with a lot of Rangers. He sets up a lot of people. He hasn't really found, but I have noticed the reason that perhaps they fell out of favor with him in Phoenix. And you hit it, Jimmy. You're an astute gentleman when you said you don't see him so much involved. And I think that's going to change. But there are a lot of times I don't see him moving his feet. You know what I'm saying? I mean, have you seen that too as well?
Well, I said after the first game that he played with the Rangers, I think we had a show the next night, and I said he kind of meanders. I always revert back to what my father. You remember Jell Samuelson when he played with the Rangers, and I remember my father I was talking about him with my father, and my father said he lumbers. And I always remember that phrase always stuck with me, and I think it's fitting here. He just kind of lumbers around. He doesn't seem like he's going 100% at all times. That will either change, or he will quickly find himself on the fourth line with Drury, Newberry. Who else is on the fourth line? It's going to be like an eight-man fourth
Kolarik.
Line. Yeah, Kolarik. Cloris Leachman.
I just see him like he's a little bit too much finesse. Now, I don't know if this is comparatively because we have so many guys like that. He sticks out like that. But you're right. I think he's going to have to, but I surely like him better than Alex Frolov. I mean, can we agree there?
I think
he's tons better than Frolov. Offensively, he creates a lot more chances.
Probably has
more points than Frolov.
Frolov was just the same thing over and over. He would try that frap around, and that was it. I never saw him do anything else. You know what's funny? Really quick on Frolov. You remember the other night we were talking to? We had Zach on the phone. He was talking about that video that your buddy Fred did from Los Angeles.
Right.
Well, I went back and listened to that show, the whole 3-hour show, and I was listening to that show, and he was walking in, and he's naming the Los Angeles Kings jerseys that he sees people wearing, and he goes, I see somebody wearing a Frolov jersey. I don't even know who the hell that guy is. And now he's playing for the Rangers, and we still don't know who he is.
Right. Now, he's got 5 points in 6 games. Frolov wasn't doing anything like that. Two goals and 3 assists. So, you're going to give him a C with that?
I gave him a C+. Hey, I got through high school at C+, my friend.
Well, I don't know. In Rangerland, 5 points in 6 games. You got to give at least that guy. And give it time to, All right, but I see you. I like that you're conservative. I like that you're conservative because I'm a little bit high on the ratings. I get a little too ahead of myself. As last year, after that first 10 games, I was passing out Kool-Aid. And then And the Carolina game, too. Girardi made an awesome play taking that puck out of the net. But then Zuccarello tried to do the same thing and banked it off Hank's pad. That went in. Yep, exactly. So, you know, when you're talking about the Rangers lost 3-1, could have been 2-1, it was just a loss. And please, stay off the bridges, everybody. It's one game. You guys are getting too crazy. Now, I'm not saying the people that listen to us and that are in our chat room, because let's face it, they are the most astute, intelligent, fun Ranger fans on the planet. But these other people in Rangerland on these interwebs are a little bit, they're fruitcakes. They're flipping out. And then, Jesse Spector telling me the other night, hey, don't worry about Carolina, Mr. Ed. And I'm telling you, Carolina is a young team, and yes, they're rebuilding, but they've got a good goaltender, too, and a couple good players. I wouldn't rule them out making the playoffs. So, Jesse, I had to just mention that.
And Carolina always makes that second half run.
Right.
Every year.
And then my last thing I have to say, and then I'll let you get to your phone calls.
Well, there are phone calls.
I know.
Oh.
I like to say you because you control the switchboard. I like to give it to your phone calls. But we had, Dale Weiss, right? Was the fourth
yes, sir.
Line. Chris Nobody, right? Chris Nobody.
Lobster Newberry.
Lobster Newberry. And who's this guy? Caloric? Is that what it was? The caloric intake?
Yeah, that's him.
Got an assist, right?
Okay, yeah.
I give him a. What are you giving him? A D? Usually, a guy gets the point. You got you low grade. You're a low
ball. Oh, Coloric?
Are you
looking?
He
looked
all right.
Yeah, we'll just call him Coloric. He looked all right. I'm not going to grade him on one night. This isn't 24/7. Where we sit and grade the guys every night. I like Newberry. I like what I've seen of Newberry. I know
he's bum. Bum.
He's a bum?
What's this bite? Get out of here. He's a retread. I hate that guy. Man, the only good thing about him, I can think.
This sounds very Prust-esque.
I hope I'm wrong. I didn't say anything bad about Prust. I just said I didn't understand at the beginning of the year why he got a free pass in training camp. But he already made the team, and I was proven wrong.
Frosty called him J.J. Newberry.
J.J. Newberry. I mean, come on. Played four games, got 33 minutes of penalty. I mean,
that's what Nicky Fatiu used to do. We love him.
This guy ain't no Nick Fatiu. I mean, he's not even Frank Beaton. We'll be on the show next week.
Larry Milnick.
It's not even Rudy Pocheck. Rudy Pocheck has more skill. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, Lobster Newberry. But that's my final notes. Now I could just throw this thing away. All right. I'm done for a while. You guys can talk. I mean, you guys, talk to the masses. And why was there just one last thing? I feel like I'm yammering out here.
And another thing, Vonnegut.
I got a lot of emails from people about my dad, well wishes from a lot of different people, and a lot of people listening. Chris from the UK, Calicata, I think that's how you say it. Also emailed me, guys from the HF boards too as well. Just to give you an update on my dad, he had a double bypass and he had his valve replaced, and he's gotten better. He's still after the operation they had to go back in because there was some bleeding, so he's still recovering and he's still kind of out of it. He's coming around though, so everything is good on that front. So I thank you guys. It really meant a lot to me for you guys to say all that good stuff. It means a lot. And now back to the uplifting Ranger Blue Shirt Bandit radio program with Jim Spittyberg and Eddie Guy.
Show's got good pace to it.
Yeah, good pace.
All right, you ready to go to the phones?
Oh, by the way, my father had a surgery from the side.
From the... Oh, wait, I got one more. Are you talking about Joe M? Have you ever heard this clip? Listen to this.
Now the Rangers with four forwards on the ice. Fake shot, and then Yager with the shot there. And you can see Kolzig, who's big and strong. He takes up a lot of space, and there's a broken shit, broken stick. And Sutterby, you can see, was in perfect positioning.
There's the broken shit.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one.
Have you heard that one? That's an old one. I just happened to stumble across it. We'd never talked about it, so figured I'd pull that one.
He's a calamity waiting to happen. Like the Joe Biden of announcing.
Wait.
What a gullible. What an in-cow poop.
Good evening, Robbie.
How's it going, guys?
Good, how are you?
What's up, Robbie?
Doing good. Well, I was. After the 7-0 loss, I was happy. Then last night, I was upset. So
here we go.
Yeah.
Wow. Come on, how hard were you cheering during that 7-0 win, though, man?
Yeah, I'm glad to see Gavin finally explode. And all these stupidly silly, absurd rumors about him being traded, just shut up. I hope he's going to be here for a while, so everyone shut up about that.
There you go.
Exactly. And trust me, we're not going through a swoon. Just once when everyone comes back, everything will we're still in a good spot standings-wise. Once when everyone comes back, we should be set. So we have a lot of injuries, so it's not like, you know, we're not underperforming.
Right, I agree.
They're a ragtag bunch right now.
And when they do come back, we've got a whole set of new problems. Because who's going to stay and who's going to play? And is Eric Christensen, do you want him in there? Do you not want him in there? I think you got to go with him at this point. I mean, you know, I don't know. And then there's a lot of people say Drury shouldn't play at all. He stinks. Guess what? They're right. But is it going to happen? I don't think so.
Oh, hold on a second, Eddie. I want to tell you this. I don't know if you guys, you had the Carolina feed, but let me tell you something. During the third period, Joe said to Sam, you know, Cam Ward is still playing well, but he's a big Yankees fan. And then Micheletti was like, you know, you guys want to talk? Because you guys know that Sam's a Yankees fan, right?
I got to mute out for a second. Sorry.
All right, sorry. But I was just saying, you know, as it was the end, Sam was like, yeah, joking around. Yeah, we talk baseball. Cam and I talk baseball with the Yankees. You know, he said he liked the Suriano signing. And they were joking around, and I heard that the Beavis and Butthead laugh. And I immediately thought of you, and I had to rewind it a few times. And I had the chills go down my spine. I was like, oh, my God. Ugh. But I thought of you, Jim, so you got stuck in my head.
Well, you know, Jim's constantly stuck in my head as well.
Yeah, the Beavis and Butthead. That's probably the only thing I don't like about Sam is that he's a Yankees fan, so I'm usually a pro Sam,
right,
but I hate the Yankees, so.
You love Sam Rosen, and I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's the reason why, it's just because, you know, he's not as good nowadays because he's old. I'm sure when he was younger, him and JD were great. So, you know, nowadays, I'm sure. I was too young to appreciate that because I don't remember him that much. So
right, like you know who Regis Philbin is, right?
Regis who? Yeah.
Regis Philbin. He just retired from Regis and Kelly. Well,
yeah, I know. Sam.
Yeah, Sam should retire from Sam and Joe. And all young. Robbie,
well,
sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, you know. I heard an interview about him a few years ago, and he said that he's going to go as far as he can. So I can't see him retiring anytime soon.
Well, you know, I think, Robbie, you should apply for the job because I think...
Well, that's really what... Go on, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying I think they need a younger guy in there. I don't know. Some people like tradition.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
He's been
and, you know,
there.
I... I lost his thing. Obviously, it's a power play goal, and they're on their feet at the Garden and everything. So, but that's one thing, though. That's really what I would love to be the broadcaster. The West, the Rangers, the Mets. That's what I actually would like to be. So, yeah, I'd love to be the idea to play-by-play TV announcer for the Rangers. That'd be really good for me. And then you guys can bash me on the air like you bashed Sam.
Oh, would we?
Yeah,
oh, would we?
I can imagine it now. Yeah, that reminds me. Yeah, Jim. Oh, the cookies are done. I mean, the cupcakes.
I can guarantee you, I would never make fun of you.
Oh, I doubt that. You'll find something to pick on me or something.
I wouldn't.
From the side!
Unless you said from the side. If you said from the side a lot, I would get a little,
from the side, yeah. You guys would find something. Then you'd be like, oh, Robbie, come on, why'd you do this? But one thing I also want to comment about Drury, and let me just leave it at this. That season, the 06-07 season, when he had the 37 goals and 32 assists, that season earned him the contract that he got with the Rangers. Then he had 25 goals the next year, then 22, then 14 last year, then this year he's got none. So that year, that's why Safety signed him that summer, was because of what he did in Buffalo. So he's good, but now he's just all washed up, so man, I was stuck with him.
Yeah, it takes a lot of strength for me to talk about Chris Drury because I really see him. He's about as he's just not useful in any regard on this hockey team. But Jesse Spector said he still has a presence in the locker room. The players still look up to him for whatever reason.
Well, he's clutch. And he's another Yankee fan, so that's another thing to keep in mind as a Mets fan.
Clutch. Jim, he just said Chris Drury was clutch.
Well, he was clutch in game five of the 2007 Eastern Conference semifinals.
See, now you had to bring that up. Goodbye, Robbie. he brought it up twice. Why do we want to relive that game twice in the same phone call? Come on, Robbie. All right.
What's that?
Rock! Is that you? 347?
What's up, boys? What's going on?
There
how
you are.
You?
Good. How you feeling?
Getting there.
How you doing?
Getting good. There. Got the sutures out today, so I'm moving in the right direction.
Very nice.
Thanks.
Good.
You know, Cam Ward, I was joking around with a friend of mine yesterday. When Cam Ward got lit up the other day for 7 goals against Boston, who was supposed to be an anemic offense, I laughed. I said, don't worry, he's due because he's ready to play the Rangers, and that SOB always stands on his head against us. I can't remember the last time we scored more than 2 or 3 goals against that guy. So it's like, yeah. I knew going in last night I was anticipating a low-scoring game, but I just thought they would have put forth a little more effort last night than what was on the ice.
Well, as Tortorella said, they were brutal defensively last night.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't pick up their checks. And you know what it is? You're playing a team, let's be honest. I mean, I've been down to Carolina, and their fans are they go, they don't sell out the building. It's a very comfortable environment to play in because people, they go to the games, but they're not diehard hockey fans. So that team plays very loose, and there's not that much pressure down there to play. And you know, I'm not begrudging North Carolina. It's a great city and a great state, but as far as from a hockey perspective, their fans are
terrible.
They're not as passionate as they are. So that team always seems to play very loose. You know, they came out hard. I mean, they're in ninth place. I mean, they came out hungry. They were probably annoyed that they lost in overtime to us the 2 weeks back and. You know, they took it to us last night. And I guess you can anticipate, you could have figured that after, blowing out a Toronto team that came out the next night and put up 5 against Anaheim. I guess you would anticipate a letdown like that.
I think if you're a seasoned Ranger fan, you were kind of ready for that. And, these things happen. I mean, what do you think, Rock? Do you think it was an isolated loss or a sign of, whoa, no, now we don't have our regulars in, it's going to be tough. Maybe a slump coming up to the All-Star break.
You know what, it has this feeling, but I also thought that after they lost to Philly, I had a feeling that this was going to start to become a problem with the low, because you figure they're 5-5 in their last 10 games, so they've been 500 their last 5 games. Now, granted, they beat Vancouver. Lundqvist stood on his head. They played a great defensive game. They lost to me, not a very good Montreal team. I mean, who have been banged up themselves, especially on the blue line. They all right, and they Philly owns them this year. Let's just state that. Let's get that out there. Philly owns them this year. I'm very curious to see how they come out tomorrow night against Atlanta. To me, that's going to be the statement
telltale
game as
sign.
Far as yeah. I mean, they're playing a team that's now 2 points behind them in the standings. Atlanta's been horrible the last 10 games. I think they're actually below 500 the last 5 games, the last 10 games. And you know, this is going to be a true test. I mean, you want to stay the course, and you don't want to start moving guys and start making unnecessary trades. But I mean, we've seen it all year. Guys are just going down like flies. And let's be honest, if they didn't make this trade, this Wolski trade, and get rid of Roosevelt, they would be in trouble forward wise. I mean, you're basically scraping the bottom of the barrel in Hartford right now, looking for just anybody to bring up here to fill out the remaining, you know, 3 spots on the team. And then
right.
When you got guys who are anemic offensively, like, I mean, I promise myself I'm not going to go into another Drury rant tonight, but he's just been absolutely horrendous. And, you know, we were talking, the thing with him is he just doesn't have it anymore. So when you have him taking up another spot, and then you got 3 brand-new players from Hartford, I mean, I don't know where they expect the goals to come from. So, but
right.
To answer your question, tomorrow night's really going to be the statement game as far as I'm concerned, whether this is going to be, you know, how it's going to be till these guys get healthy or, you know, or we'll see what happens.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I was just going to say, you're talking about all the scraping the bottom of the barrel in Hartford, but how bad of a sign is it that all these guys are getting called up from Hartford and Evgeny Grachev hasn't been one of them?
It's hard.
I mean,
well, here's the thing why I want to say with Grachev. To me, Grachev shouldn't be playing on your fourth line.
I agree.
He should be getting top minutes on the top 2 lines playing in Hartford. He shouldn't be on your fourth line. He's not a checker. To me, your fourth line should be guys that can basically take up 10 minutes of a game and not let in a goal. That's basically what it is. He's not the greatest defensively, and I just don't know if it's worth having him playing 8 minutes a night on the fourth line here, where he could be better served playing 15, 20 minutes down in Hartford on a regular basis.
Yeah, but why not bring him up and play him on the second line and see what happens? You keep But you keep losing second and third line guys. And you just keep bringing guys up and shoving them into the fourth line, and you just keep bumping guys. You know, you keep bumping the fourth line guys up.
Well, I guess
they could bring
him up and play him on the third line, and move Drury back down to the fourth line. I mean, I don't know.
I think this is my personal thing. This is not because I'm a big. Well, I guess I'm a big Grachev fan. I mean, I had high hopes for him, you know, and I do think he has a lot of potential.
You're a Grachev enthusiast.
I'm a Grachev enthusiast. I think they're just looking for a fourth line, very defensively responsible, hitting line. And I know what you're saying, Jim. I just don't think on the Tortorella, I mean, it took Artem Anisimov how long to get the first line. He's not a defensively gifted player. He's all offense. Now, we do need goals, but I think they feel they can win more games than they have done all year with defense and hitting and battling, and certainly Dale Weiss and Newberry. Lobster Newberry. you know, those guys, they hit, they compete, you know, and
Newberry's been good on Facebook, too.
Yeah, he's very good on Facebook, I'll say that much. And so is Chris Drury, for the most part. But, you know, it's good. And those guys are going to see very limited time. And I agree with Rock, and I also see your point. But I just think in the way the Tortorella works things, when you're looking to keep things just at 500, you're not going to go with the Grachev. You're going to go with the guy that back checks, that hits, that you know, the fourth-line grinders, the ham and eggers, as we say. So, but it is an interesting point. And Gratchev just really hasn't made that amount of, you know, he just hasn't made that much progress, I think, down there.
And it's so strange because he was one of the last cuts, not this training camp, the training camp before. He was one of the last cuts. I mean, I remember he scored a goal, obviously. Again, it was in preseason, but yeah, I remember he came over the blue line, he cut to the center, and he ripped one over the top shelf of I forgot what team it was, but it was a beautiful shot, a beautiful move that he made. And I don't know with him if it's just a matter of confidence at this point, if he's just, you know, maybe still, you know, growing into his body. The kid's 20 years old still. I mean, I'm really not sure. I'm not ready to write him off yet. I think he'll be there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big proponent of the guy. I know a lot of people want to write him off. He's 20 years old, 21, whatever he's going to be. I just think that I feel personally, first of all, when you're talking about in the off season when Stepan was wowing people at the Traverse City tournament, Gratchev was mentioned right in there. Now, Gratchev, that was his second Traverse City, but still, I remember Bob McKenzie writing that Gratchev and Stepan were really the stars of the tournament. They played very well. So, when I see that, I say, this guy's got something. My bottom line with this guy, I say, this guy's got to play with quality players. I think he elevates his game. And that's quality offensive players.
You're probably right.
He went up and down his wing for the 8 games. He didn't do anything really offensively. He looked like he was just trying to do his part.
Not make a mistake.
Right, exactly. That's how he played. Like, he didn't want to make a mistake. So
As far as Wolski, I think he played. He actually played the most minutes of any forward last night. He played a little under 20 minutes, and he had 5 shots on goal.
What are you giving him on the grade?
He's on pace, believe it or not. I did some math before. He's on pace to basically put up the same numbers he put up with Phoenix last year. So he's on pace to put up probably 15 goals, something along those lines, second half of the season. So, in essence, I give him a B minus, somewhere there. I mean, it's only a 5-game sample, and the team hasn't played well. So, I mean, he got the team going the other day against Philly. He had that horrible angle goal against Boucher. I mean, the guy's not afraid to shoot the puck. He seems to be involved. He has great hands. I question his skating. He doesn't seem like he's the fleetest of foot, but
he's a little choppy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's played well, and I think without him right now, I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to be the catalyst to get the team to the next level, but I definitely think he's an upgrade over Frolov.
I definitely think so. I don't even think it's close. I think once he gets used to the system and he learns what Tortorella wants, I think he'll be Frolov. I saw no excitement from him. I never got giddy when he got the puck. It was just like it comes a wraparound.
He was good along the boards for Olof. That's the only thing I can say. I mean, the problem with that is he never generated any offense from it. I mean, he was able to – he was strong on the puck against the boards, but that really didn't generate any offense from it.
Right. So, I'm happy with him. And now what are you going to do when Callahan comes back? What do you got players playing and who's leaving and who's coming? And
well, obviously, you know who I'd want to leave, but I think it's one of the Hartford guys. I definitely want to go back.
And how
the question is when Christensen comes back, and I think you got to play all these guys when they come back. Again, it's going to be all the Hartford guys. Newberry's going to go back. Weiss is going to go back. And this other guy, Kolarik. You know, those are the 3 guys that are going to go back first before anyone else goes. It's the sad part because they probably played better than some of the guys that are here right now. But, it was funny in Tortorella's press conference the other night. And, again, not to go on a long, drawn-out Drury rant, but he basically stated that Drury is accepting a new role and that without coming out and saying it, basically saying he's taking a back seat to everybody else at this point. And, you know, I kind of thought that was interesting, where he's basically, it's the first time someone actually asked him that question, you know, as far as how do you felt he played. And I thought he played horrible against Toronto. I mean, he had that one move where he kind of stole the puck and broke in, and, you know, he had that one play in Toronto, but every time his line was out there, they got pinned in the zone.
He can't make a pass. He's got, like, you know, what I used to call the Nick Fatio pass. It's as hard as you can, right in your skates. That nice play he made, didn't he shoot it like 50 feet wide or something? I don't know if
he shot it into the goalie's chest.
Right.
But he's every game it's one shot guaranteed. It's going flying over the net and coming out the other end. So, I mean, you're good for that at least once a game. But,
the great Jesse Spector told me not to give up on him, but from what I'm seeing, it's the bell tolls for the crit. The buyout is coming.
Jimmy, where did you read about
listen
the...
Listen to the bell, Captain Clump. Listen to the bell. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
It's okay. No, we talked before on Twitter, and I was saying about that extra second-round pick the Rangers got in the Sanguinetti trade. You were hearing that the draft isn't that deep this year?
I read that somewhere just the other
day. Yeah, that area still didn't, then, you know, I know the Central Scouting, 2 weeks ago, came out with their rankings.
Yeah.
And they always say that. You don't know. You really, the draft is a crapshoot. I mean, you know, listen, I'd rather have two second than none.
Rock was saying, you know, maybe trade that extra second rounder, put it in a package for a forward. And that was my point is that if this draft is perceived as weak, then a second round draft pick doesn't have as much value as it might in other years. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, but I think on a team that's rebuilding, I think that a second round pick is a second round pick. I don't know.
Clark with a second round pick, although I'm off the Dylan McIlrath thing. I think that's a colossal mistake. I mean, I haven't come out. I have not. I've been hinting about it, but this Cam Fowler has just been. I mean, if you think about what the Rangers really need at this point, it's Cam Fowler, the power play quarterback. I mean,
you think they need that more than a defenseman that can crush some bones?
They do right now.
Well, you know what,
Fowler fills a need right now. Whereas
as a quarterback on the power play?
McIlrath will fit a need in, you know, I mean, it's always a need for them, but, you know, he's not going to be here to fill whatever, you know, the need in for probably 2 years, maybe three, who knows?
Right, and I think, you know, Chris Pronger didn't deserve, you know, he didn't develop overnight once he got to the NHL. I'll tell you, I may have said this, I saw Chris Pronger in Hartford his first year, and he was a big, gawky guy. I said, this guy sucks. This guy's never going to be anything. This guy's terrible. Now he's like, you know, he's a really coveted defenseman. He's doing it all. But, you know, it takes a while for him to grow into it. I mean, Cam Fowler in 44 games as a rookie, 3 goals, 21 assists on Anaheim. I mean, that's pretty good. I know it's plus minus blows, but that doesn't
really
happen.
Well, so did Delzato's last year.
Right.
I think it was. I really think that they felt that Delzato, I mean, I guess they looked at their defense and they saw Delzato, and I think to a certain degree they thought McDonough was going to be a little bit more offensive than he may turn out to be. And I guess they figured, you know what, we already have that offensive style defenseman that is the one thing that every Ranger fan has been clamoring for since Jeff Bukaboom is a Jeff Bukaboom type defenseman. And, you know, basically that's what they drafted.
Let me ask you a question. You know, like I mentioned Chris Pronger. Now, this is no disrespect to Jeff Bukaboom, but Jeff Bukaboom was no Chris Pronger.
Oh, no.
I mean, Chris Pronger, you know, Jeff Bukaboom was clear the crease machine, a tough guy, a tough hombre, as I say. But in this day of hockey, that kind of player, I seem to at least to me, is very outdated. Now, I know when you're looking ahead to piece your team together, now the Rangers at this point have a logjam of defensive defensemen, it looks like. Sauer looks like he's pretty solid. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of years. And you're right. Maybe they thought Delzato was going to be the guy that was going to be the quarterback on the power play. But when the whole hockey world is comparing Cam Fowler to Ray Bourque, and then the Rangers, and I don't even blame them for taking Dylan McIlrath, you know, but the absolutism that they were going to, this was, I mean, you know, Taylor Hall could have been available. Nope, we're going with McIlrath. You know, that's what I got the feeling. Now, I love Gordy Clark, but when I see a guy in his first year putting up numbers, offensive numbers, you know, and that was highly touted and he was a no-brainer, and the Rangers decided to get a, you know, they're going off the radar. Anytime the Rangers go off the radar. But I said that same thing about Kreider, too. I thought that was like a really, they're picking this guy out of high school. I'm like, what? You know?
But, Jimmy,
so,
Eddie, honestly, did you even think they were going to pick a defenseman in this draft? I didn't. What's the Rangers' biggest need? They have horrible forward prospects. I mean, they haven't drafted a decent forward prospect. I mean, I shouldn't go that far, but in the first round. Their first-round forward prospects have been horrendous. I mean, you can go down the line. They've gotten better in the second, third rounds. They've been able to find gems. But their drafting in the first round for forwards has been horrendous. And if you look back at their history, I mean, going from, you know, Peter Ferraro and yeah, it goes on and on.
Pavel Brendel.
Pavel Brendel, Lundmark. I mean, Manny Malholtra.
Christian Dubé.
Well, he was actually a second-round pick.
Oh, that's right. He was a second-round pick. You're right. My bad.
So good, but
I
was shocked that they even picked. I was shocked they even picked a defenseman. I thought they were going to pick Tarasenko. Personally, I was very shocked that they even picked a defenseman that high, knowing all the defenseman prospects they already have in the system, seeing how young their defense is. I was pretty much shocked that they even picked the defenseman.
Center Iceman. They have nothing at center. I mean, you're looking for a guy. You know, you would think that they would have went center, and I really thought they were going to take Niederreiter, actually.
Well, I laughed at my friend over. I said, the Islanders must have been eavesdropping on every Ranger messenger board to see how can they screw us. But I'll tell you, Skinner, what was that?
I said, that's how they draft. They listen to Panda Radio.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
That's our scouting department.
That is funny. That's where all the guests in your chat room. They're all Islander scouts.
Yeah. So,
but I don't know. I was shocked when they picked the defenseman, period. So.
Yeah, so moving forward, you got these pieces in place. And I think you're right. I think tomorrow's going to be the big indicator whether this team is going to be resilient once again or we're going to get that slump. You know, you're right. They've played 500 hockey, but they got a steep. I still think they have the tools to beat most clubs. You know, I just think their work ethic, if they continue to bang, they got to hit. A lot of these teams, they get worn down in the third period, and that's why they've been able to come back in the third period. I just don't like this thing they fall into where they give up these goals in bunches. You know, you get outscored three goals, you know, three goals come over a period. It's hard to dig yourself out of these.
And they're all coming in the first period.
Right.
And if you think about it, they haven't really given up many goals in the third period the last, you know, five games. I think maybe they've given up one goal.
Right.
Because they came to Montreal, they didn't get. Yeah, I can only think of maybe two games in the last 10 they've given up a goal in the last period.
Yeah. So they need to get their act together in the first period. That's for sure.
But that's
I don't know what that is.
For a while.
Yeah. It was a big problem at home, and now it's starting to become on the road.
Yeah.
You know, you hope it corrects itself. So far, everything is good. You know, it's very tight with the standings, and you know, I think this is what I believe going down the stretch. I think the Rangers are going to run into a lot of teams who are not going to be given the kind of effort that they give, and then be able to win some more games. The problem is that these injuries are ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of injuries. It's absurd.
Well,
I mean,
I don't know.
I'm
sorry, Eddie.
No, were you going to mention the man gains lost? I don't know if you heard that.
No, that's ridiculous. What, it's like 163 games opposed to 78 from last year?
Yeah, and we're not even like...
We're half,
you know,
a little
half,
over halfway through the season.
Halfway, yeah.
It's amazing.
I don't know. What is the status on Callahan? What, like a week or so? What are they
thinking? He's stood in for February 1st. Again, you know, obviously they're not going to commit to a date, but he's assuming the game after the All-Star break, February 1st, which is the against the Penguins. But you never know. I mean, these guys could all have setbacks. I mean, how many times do we hear Prosper was coming back in December, and he was coming back in the beginning of January, then he's coming back in the middle of January, and he's coming now they say he's not coming back at all. So, you know, everything could change with these guys. You never know. They could have a setback,
right.
And that's why I actually sent I sent your boy Cerny a tweet today. And I asked him, I said, do you think Sather's working the phones trying to make a move, you know, try to help this team out? He goes, I've got the exact quote how he worded it to me, but pretty much he said that he thinks so because Sather's not on this road trip. Now I don't know if he normally travels with the team.
Did he say did he shake his magic laptop and it came out? Like, please.
That is the
it
funniest.
Is very
That is classic. That is funny.
Yeah, so,
unbelievable.
All right, Rock. So we'll see Atlanta in Hotlanta.
Yes.
Big game. Any indicators, you guys, because I've been away from the interwebs today, is it going to be Biron or Hank tomorrow?
I haven't heard anything. I guess we'll find out tomorrow after they do. I guess you'll know by the morning skate.
I'm saying right now.
I think it's going to be Biron. I'll be honest with you. I think it's going to be Biron, and I think they're going to start Lundqvist against Montreal, Washington on Monday.
I'm going to be thinking of that game as a must-win, and they're going to start him. And you know, as much as Ranger fans have taken to him, I'm still a little bit on the ledge, kind of on the edge with him.
He looks
good sometimes. Yeah. I'm still not, I mean, I'm surely more confident than when Matt Zaba was playing net. But I still am a little bit shaky. You know, you get used to Henrik. He's like a good drug. You know, you want him in there every night.
Yeah.
I want my, you know.
You really can't blame Biron for that Flyer game, though. I mean, those three goals were definitely not his fault. So.
No, but that. The one game I went to, he gave up a goal, the shaky goal. I forgot what team it was. I forgot that game. But anyway,
that was the Florida game we were at, wasn't it? Was it no? Who they played?
Right,
oh,
yes.
Calgary.
Yeah. Well, Rock, I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm glad
you're
back on the mend, and I appreciate your insight on this wonderful program we host.
All right, boys.
All right, Rock. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Be good.
Take it easy. Bye.
Yeah.
All right. The great Rock. Phone calls 646-478-4692. And we will go to, I believe, this is Costa. 631-974. There you are. How are you, Costa?
Same shit, different day.
Glad to hear it.
Well, that's positive.
All right. Do you think the Bisky's injury maybe cost him a few bucks in his new contract?
No.
Okay.
Not Callahan, yes. Dubinsky, no. I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree with Jimmy. I think Dubinsky has proven on and off the ice that he's a pro and he can improve. Offensively, at least. Callahan is still a mystery if he's ever going to break that 25-goal mark or reach that 25-goal mark. You know, he's just so streaky. I mean, again, I don't want any Ranger fans flipping out because I said anything that resembled a disparaging remark against Ryan Callahan, who I think is a tremendous player. I just don't think he's ever going to pop 25 goals in this league. I hope he does. I don't think it's going to affect. I think Brandon's got a lot of, he's become a leader. I mean, they could easily just rip that C off Drury's freaking sweater and put it right on Dubinsky's when he's healthy. They could do that with...
Speaking of which, do you think Dubinsky should be captain instead of Callahan?
No.
Interesting debate. I like Dubinsky.
I think Dubinsky because I think he's more outspoken than Callahan.
Now, yeah, I still think Callahan's the heart and soul. I've been saying for 3 years that Callahan's the future captain of the Rangers, and I stand by it.
Oh, you could stand by your ridiculous theories, but I think
isn't Callahan a little more reserved, would you say?
I think so. Dubinsky wears his heart on its sleeve. If some injustice goes on in the Rangers, he's barking. If there is a guy on the other team that's a good player, he tries to go under his skin. He seems to be... Now, I love them both, but I think that if I had my way... And listen, Callahan does it all. He's laying that body out. I don't have to tell you. I just think either one of them would be a great captain. I just think, like Jesse Spector said, though, when he talked to guys, I asked him who was the most honest and the guy who just say something. Dubinsky, he calls Sidney a crybaby, He's an emotional guy. I like that in my captain. I don't want a reserved captain. I want a fiery guy. But Jim thinks otherwise, Mr. C-minus.
I got nothing against Dubinsky. I like Dubinsky, too. I just think... I think Callahan's the future captain.
All right.
I don't think Callahan's reserved at all.
You don't?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, me and Costa are very, we're very outspoken, emotional guys. So, you're more of a, and that's probably why we get attracted to Dubinsky as a captain.
because I think if you go from Drury to Callahan, I think you're getting pretty much more of the same. As far as the captain goes, with Dubinsky, you're getting a little bit more of a change, a little bit more, you know what I mean?
Right. It depends who the players really respond to more, too, It's good to have that problem that you have two young guys. I mean, arguably, Mark Stahl you could throw in there, too. I mean, three guys that you really could... depend on, and you want to be captain. It's a good thing. I just wish the resident captain would just pull up Marcus Naslund and say, listen, I stink. I'm retiring. Goodbye. Marcus Naslund was a class guy.
Captain Cash ain't retiring. Who are you kidding?
Why not?
Because he's Captain Cash.
How much money could you have, Costa? I mean, enough's enough.
He's got pizza money.
You're right. I tried using convoluted logic to suppress the feelings, but you're right in the end, Costa. Captain Cash is going nowhere.
Because he's Captain Cash.
Right.
It's all about the money.
Right.
And in closing, nobody's stop with the trade, Gabrick. First of all, who's going to take that contract?
I don't know.
You understand?
I mean, I
don't know. Who's going to take the contract?
Nobody.
Yeah.
I just heard a lot of wacky things. L.A. to take Dustin Brown and some other guy and, It's just, do the Rangers really need a new player to introduce into this mishmash they already have? I mean, aren't things confusing enough that we got to change another guy? We all know. I have hard. If I wasn't doing this show, I wouldn't even know half the guys. If I tuned into a game tomorrow and I seen the caloric intake and Lobster Newberry, this is the only way I remember these guys. I have to give them little nicknames. I got to learn Polish. It's Wojtek. It's Volki. It's the Volkswagen. You know, you got guys all over the place now. They're not going to throw anything into the mix that major. Come on. Especially now. Last year, Gavrik got Bugard here. You know, well, we won't talk about that. But he had all this influence, so to speak. Now they're going to train him. They know that in order to make any noise in the playoffs, they have to have Henrik Lundqvist and Gavrik. To make the playoffs and maybe any hope of making some noise with a young team, they need those two. You do not get two elite players and then trade one of the elite players just because he's having a crummy regular season to his standards.
The only reason Gavrik is having a crummy season is because he got injured and basically it threw him completely off course. If he was healthy, he'd have like 20 goals now. Guaranteed. If he was healthy.
Yeah. And he lost his line mate, Vinny Prospel, who he quit last year. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on. The season's not over yet. You know what? Everybody will forget about his lack of production if the last 10 games he gets hot and it's hot in the playoffs. Nobody will even care what he did. So, just everybody stops.
Yeah, if Dubinsky and Gavrik each score 30 goals, I'll be happy.
Ooh, I'll be happy, too. So Kosti makes some very lucid and very good points, which I'm very surprised, actually.
Thank you very much. And the chat room wants me out? Okay, I'm leaving. Bye-bye. Talk to you later.
He gives the people what they want.
That's why me and him, you know, we got a connection. I give the people what they want.
All right. We got 33 minutes to go, and we got a couple of calls on hold. Zach, we'll get to you. You're up next. We'll get to you in just a second. Since it's Paul's birthday, and a request was made from the chat room for something special for Paul's birthday, so here it is.
You are my honey bun, sugar plum, pumpkin. You're my sweetie pie. You're my cupcake gumdrop, snickle bum. You're the apple of my eye.
There you go, the Islanders fight song. You ready for Zach?
Well, it's working. They're up 3-0.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're beating the Sabres. Buffalo.
Oh, that's the Red Hot Sabres. I read a funny article about the Sabres the other day from a guy who covers them for the Buffalo News or whatever it is. He said it's time for the organization to stop kidding themselves and just tear it all apart and start over again.
It's not bad. I mean, they're only one game of 500, but still. I don't know. They have such financial constraints. They really can't do anything. It's really tough for them to make any moves.
Yeah.
And they have Ryan Miller, and, you know, it's kind of like a Rangers situation in a way. Although I think the Rangers have a little bit more talent up front, you know. But still, they've had some really good records the last couple of years. I wish I had those kind of records. They just haven't done anything in the playoffs, really. So, I can't worry about other teams. I got one team I worry about. That's the New York effing Rangers.
You got all you can handle with this team.
That's right, you puddin' heads. It's all Rangers all the time.
Puddin' heads?
I don't know. I'm making this up on the fly. It's a wacky day for me, let me tell you. All right, who's next up on the docket?
Zach, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I can't talk for long because I'm still at the store.
Okay.
Oh, really? I like this is a sneak phone call.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Store closed like half an hour ago. I'm just finishing cleaning up.
Are you on the phone at the store? Are you on your own? Oh, you're on your own phone. I thought maybe
I'm on
you were
my
on
own,
the,
yeah.
The store phone.
No, I wish I was on the store phone. Actually, I'm able to go there and test the change.
Put us on speaker.
Are you mad?
What?
Yeah, we want to be live from the NHL store. It's the closest we're ever going to get.
You guys should come visit me. Anyways, I'm about ready to leave, so I just want to say this one quick, and then put me back on hold so I can listen to the rest of the show. To all the Ranger fans that are sick and tired of listening to the other Ranger fans bash Gabrick for not scoring, they should just shut up. Seriously, there is one fan that's pissed off. They're all saying, yeah, Gabrick needs to score. And he's upset because he's saying, yeah, because the rest of the team doesn't need to score. I'm sorry. We are getting secondary and third-tier scoring from this team, and not once have we complained about that this season. Last year, we always complained, yes, Gabrick is scoring, but nobody else is. Now it's the other way around, and this fan is still pissed that we're yelling at Gabrick. He ought to shut up and watch the game.
I agree. Zach, we have Gary Bettman on the other line. He says you're fired.
and
Zach,
also, one other.
Okay, go ahead.
One other quick thing, and then I got to go because I'm about to change, get ready to go. Eddie, I agree with you. Dubinsky should be the next captain. But we all still here's the thing. We love Callahan, so maybe we can have two co-captains?
No, never happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't have two guys wearing the C. All right, everybody's off the Callahan bandwagon. It's just me. I get it. That's all right.
Okay, all right. I got to go. Just put me back on hold so I can listen to the rest of the show.
Okay, Zach, bye.
Bye.
What Zach was about to tell us that he has just completely masturbated all over the new New York Ranger Heritage jerseys. quite fond of them.
All right.
Going a little blue, working a little blue the last half hour.
All right, 646-478-4692 is the number if you want to call in.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Jim. Eddie, how are you?
What's going on?
I am on the same wavelength as you, Jim. Callahan will be the next captain of this team.
Oh, well, see, now I know this is a bad idea.
Well, just remember this. I called it the other day that Dubinsky should be an all-star, and look what happened. He got hurt. Next thing you know, Callahan, something's going to happen now, I'm telling you.
Where are you? Are you at the roller rink or something with Stacy?
I'm out with the girlfriend. I went out to a busy bar.
Did you hear that? He started to say, I'm out with the wife. Did you hear that,
Eddie? Yeah, he almost said that.
Not yet, Jim. Don't push it too much.
It won't be long before you two are in the chupa.
I'm giving the chat room what they want, though. They want Newman. They want Newman and Stacy.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. I want to be invited to that wedding because
broadcasting live from the Newman Cats wedding, Blue Shirt Band of Radio.
Yes, and we'll invite you guys on the front row seat.
Eddie and I will wear Ranger yarmulkes.
I love Jewish weddings. They're fun. They're a lot of fun, Jewish weddings.
They are a lot of fun.
You agree. You're in the same wavelength as Jim. I'm glad to hear that.
I'm drinking the same Kool-Aid as everybody else. Cook Callahan needs to be the next captain of this team. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Newman, just so you know, Cutter said he can't make it that day for your wedding. He can't make it.
Tell Cutter no Canadians allowed except for Canadian Club.
That's a good one.
All right. Canadian Club's the only thing going to be served at my wedding. No green cards allowed.
Jeez.
All right.
So, what else you got?
The game was horrible last night. Let's put it that way.
Well, the one before that was pretty damn good.
I liked the fourth wine last night, though. I like that Connecticut Whale wine right there.
You like lobster Newberry?
I did. That was a good wine.
Okay.
I was watching the game with somebody. As soon as Pruss scored, they said, oh, and Pruss retrusts. I said, no, it's a Presbyterianism. It's a Presbyterianism. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Oh, yeah. Brandon Prust still plugging away, and he is a Presbyterian. Whoever follows him is a Presbyterian. So you enjoy the rest of your night there, Johnny. Have a drink for me. Have some holy water.
And by the way, happy birthday, Paul.
Yes. Yep, there you go. Right. Happy birthday, Paul. All right, John, take it easy. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, bud.
Bye. Newman. God love him.
Yes. Somebody has to, besides.
Imagine that wedding. Oh, my God. He's going to be... He can't wait to get married, boy. Now that he's hooked Stacy, he can't get married fast enough before she runs away.
He's already married. This guy hangs out with that girl every day.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with him?
And one of those.
Don't do that. She's married. Then you got to hang out with him every day. I love being married. But this is true. I may have to change. You know, I always like he's no Bruno Gervais.
Yeah.
I may have to, you know, update that a little bit. He's no Travis Harmonic. Look at this house of beds with Travis Harmonic.
That's a good one.
Playing harmonica. So anyway, well, John's always drinking. I worry about that guy.
I don't know how to break this to you, but most of our listeners are usually drinking.
Really?
I mean, if you really pay attention to this crowd, most of them are drinking.
I didn't know that. I wonder why the ratings are so high now.
Yeah, well,
everybody's bombed into their minds. Hey, listen, it's fun, baby. Whatever gets you off.
We'll take the ratings whatever way we can get them.
That's right. I'll even send the alcohol to your house. Just tune in. Now, is somebody listening to the show and putting things on HF that are just aimed to get me crazy? Two new posts. Now, I know it's not the banter. I don't want to talk up HF, but time to call Yaramir? What? Yaramir Yager? Again? Please. The guy is done.
Jesus.
So freaking done. And then, quick, Paul Mara question. Would you stop with the Paul Mara? Can we give it up? He played on one of the most boring Ranger teams in history. He's one of Rennie's robots. Give it up with Paul Mara. Let it go. It's an obsession. Gotta stop. All right. I'm done. It's not like I'm perusing now. I'm on the banter. What's Joe Fortunato? He's got pictures of his feet up there. What's going on?
What?
Do that for Rex Ryan? No, I'm only kidding. He's got no pictures of his feet up there.
Yeah. What?
Where's Joe Fortunato been?
What?
Where's Joe Fortunato been lately?
He's settling. I keep asking him to come on, and he works nights now. He's a reporter and an editor. Working at a paper, and he's usually working nights. So I'd love for him to come on and join us. I've asked him a couple of times, and he's usually pretty tied up night.
Well, he usually brings a good, just like DB Maven, Mandel, right? All our listeners are top notch, you know. But he does bring a different perspective, if I can say that.
That he does.
So anyway.
Let me just throw this out there. We will be, what do we got? We got a game tomorrow and a game Monday and a game Tuesday. So we will be back Wednesday night before the All-Star break. We'll be back at our regular night Wednesday. Actually, I think we'll be able to do, we might be able to go back to Wednesdays at least for February. All of February we'll be back on definitely Wednesday nights. Because they don't have any Wednesday games in February, so we can do Wednesday shows and then figure out what other nights we want to do.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, so starting next week, we move back to Wednesdays. And we really do appreciate you guys following us every friggin' night of the week.
Me and Jim have just been stunned. I mean, we're stunned by the way this show has really taken off. And, I'm just glad that we, I know it sounds, I don't know, it may sound cheesy to say, but I really, it's good that so many Ranger fans are getting together and listening to really just
unedited Rangers stuff and feel like it's like, again, I always compare it to like hanging out at the, you know, between periods and how they used to talk, all the guys would gather together in the hallway and this guy sucks, that guy sucks, oh, he's playing good. And that's how I look at it, you know. And, you know, that just, it's just done by word of mouth, you know, people just picking it up here and there. And with the team's success, you know, a lot of you guys, most of you, we're not even that great. We're not even that good yet. With the, you know, I'm talking like we're on our way. But it's good that we got so many really true Blue fans with us that are going through the hard times. And, you know, we're not a bunch of fair weather people. You know, we invest a lot of time in this. And I'm, you know, Jim tells me the numbers. He says, dude, you know, we're killing. We're killing. And I was like, you know, I'm very thankful for it because I know that me and Jim would do this with absolutely no listeners because we have.
And what they don't realize is that you and I talk at least a couple of times during the week on the phone, and our phone calls are like shows. You know, we'll get on the phone together and do like a half hour show. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. You know, we don't, except on game day, like on show day, I don't like to talk too much because, you know, I don't know why. I just, but, you know, I just want to thank you guys. It takes a lot, man. I mean, I know I would listen to this show, you know, because, you know, I'm crazy about the Rangers. You can't find it anywhere. That's my, my heartfelt thanks to you guys.
Absolutely. And you know, guys like Adam from Chicago and Andro and Frosty, City Hockey Fever and Costa, and Mandar,
Ava,
who's not here tonight, and Ava and Claude and Robbie and Rock, Guy, they have been here since almost the beginning, and we're doing this a year and a half, and Eddie and I have been together, you know, doing the show for about 15 months now, and we really appreciate it. You guys are here every week for us. I don't know how many times we've just come on a whim. You know, I'll call Eddie at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or Eddie will call me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'll just say, "Let's do a show tonight," and we just put together a show, and you guys are here. You know, whatever you guys all have lives, you know, a lot of you have families, you know, you have some of you in college, so we appreciate it because you're always here. There are some
and
of you
the
that
people
that
the
we
people
can,
on the podcast too, Jim. They download this show religiously.
Absolutely.
I mean, tell people what happens if it's not up. They freak out.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. I mean, sometimes, you know, the show goes to iTunes, Microsoft Zune, and the podcast is usually ready on Blog Talk Radio. I think it's about an hour after the show. But, you know, iTunes and Microsoft Zune, we don't have any control over that. That's just a matter of us submitting the RSS feed to iTunes, and then iTunes and Zune will just go draw the RSS feed whenever they get around to it. So we don't control that. But a lot of times I'll wake up in the morning, and usually the first thing I do is I'll check my email on my BlackBerry, and sometimes I'll get four or five emails and a couple of Facebook messages. The show isn't on iTunes. What do I do? And I'll just, you know, I'll tell you guys the same thing I tell you all the time. If you don't find it on iTunes the following morning, just go get it from the show page. Download it right from the show page, and then you can just move it to your MP3 player, whatever MP3 player you use, and you can listen to it that way if you happen to if it's not on iTunes first thing in the morning. But it usually is. I know Chris over in the UK, and of course he's 5 hours ahead of you guys, so you know he's up. He usually downloads the show first thing in the morning, and then he listens to it on his way to work. So usually, I guess, sometime after midnight usually is when the show pops up on iTunes. But sometimes it's not there, and I do get some rather tense people panicking. And it's just funny. I mean, you know, because there's Glenn Sather. You might want to get that.
Yeah.
He's ringing in. He just made a deal.
Glenn Sather has traded Marion Gaborik.
Oh.
Cam Fowler and Bobby Ryan, Lubomir Vishnovsky. I don't know.
Anyway, and I don't want to. We won't get into numbers as far as what we do, but because you guys won't probably be as impressed by them as we are. But I will tell you that in the last month or two, our numbers for this show have tripled, at least. Between live listeners and podcast listeners, you guys that are here every week, you see the chat room has just been over jammed, overpacked, overwhelmed, whatever. The last 5 or 6 weeks, you know, as people start getting away from, you know, football, whatever, and baseball, and now they're focusing full time on hockey. The holidays are over, so we really do appreciate it. We're not just kissing you took us here, but we do appreciate it. This is a lot of fun for us.
And I have a plan that I talked to Jim briefly about it, but I'd like to get, maybe you guys who are friends with me on Facebook, I'd like to do kind of a, and I don't know the legalities of this, but I'd like to do a maybe canvassing near the garden to a one Ranger game, handing out like flyers for the show. Like all of us get together, and maybe hand out flyers, maybe not directly outside the garden, but around, you know, we see Ranger fans, because I really want every Ranger fan to know about this program and the people that come to it. Everybody should, I mean, this is the place, there's no other area where you're going to be able to talk like this. I want everybody to be like, to join in the fun. I love the crew we have here. I mean, some of these are very, some of you people are very special people. Ava and Claude especially. They are just the total, really nice people. I mean, just everybody I met at the Blue Shirt Banner Radio, all of you guys, just showed so much enthusiasm and so much about this show. And,
not a bum in the lot, as Colonel Potter.
Not a bum in the lot, that's true.
Not a bum in the lot.
Some of you got wacky opinions, but hey, so do we.
Yeah.
Enough of that, but I would like to get there. So if you can hit me up at Facebook, if you live in the New York metropolitan area, Eddie Geick.
And
G-I-E-C-K. Yes.
I just had another thought. I can't remember his first name. I want to say it's Tom. He's the owner of the Blarney Rock over there by the garden.
Uh-huh.
I believe he listens to the show on the podcast, because obviously we're usually on it. We're on at night and he's working the restaurant. We should see if he'll put a sign up. If anybody listening to the show is a season ticket holder, maybe frequents that his establishment, maybe talk and you know him or something. Maybe talk to him and see if he'd be interested in doing something like that for us. I don't want to ask him myself because I don't live there and I don't get to go in there like I used to. Back, God, that was my usual stop on my way to a game. But maybe somebody, if somebody's in there a lot and they kind of know him or whatever, talk to him. Maybe see if he'd be interested in doing something like that, because obviously, he probably has, at least, 500-600 Ranger fans a night come through his place,
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I'll hit him up on Facebook. I'll let me come down there and meet the fans. We'll drink down there. I mean, I like Cafe 31, but it's just too crowded, and I don't know, too many Greek people yell at me down there. Move away, Fatso. Ooh, fat boy. All right.
I like Cafe 31, but how do I put this? For me, I'm more at home in the Blarney Rock than at Cafe 31. I go into Cafe 31, and it's kind of like an odd mix crowd in there. You've got some Ranger fans, and then you've got just some guys that just got out of work and just want to go someplace and drink before they got to go home to their wives.
Right.
Whereas the Blarney Rock, you go into the Blarney Rock, and that's just, that's just wall-to-wall sports fans and Ranger fans usually. So for me, Cafe 31 is a good place, but I prefer the Blarney Rock. unless, of course, Cafe 31 wants to advertise on our show, in which case, I love Cafe 31.
Well, I may try to talk to Jerry Cosby. Maybe if we can get something up in Cosby, even though it's kind of fallen by the wayside compared to the old days. A lot of Ranger fans still go there. And we'll give you a shout-out in exchange for a poster or something up there. Because
sure,
we must expand. We must forge on. We must succeed where others have failed.
There's there's plenty of room for more people in here. And, you know, there was something else I was thinking about. Since we're talking and we got a couple of minutes left, and you know, just throw it out there, I was thinking, you know, we have Chris from the UK that listens, and then we had Frank who emailed in from Norway, and we know that we have a pretty decent amount of people that listen internationally. I was thinking that maybe the weekend after the Super Bowl, maybe we could do like a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon show, when we could get some of them to call in, or at least be involved in the chat, or at least just give them the chance to actually listen to a show live, you know? Maybe we could do like an afternoon type show.
I'm not available.
Oh, okay. I'm busy that day.
Yeah, sure, I'm up for anything.
I think it'd be fun, I'm going to email Frank, the guy whose email I read earlier, and see what we can do to maybe have him spread the word for us over there. But because there's a lot of Matt Zuccarello fans that are getting turned on to the Rangers. Let's get them in here.
We'll do a whole Matt Zuccarello hour.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
I'm down with the program. You got that right. So what do we got on the Ranger calendar? I want to do a little win-loss prediction things.
All right, you want to run it down? You got it? I got it in front of me. I got the schedule in front of me.
I don't have it. Yeah,
okay. All right, well, we got Atlanta tomorrow night.
Win.
All right, then they're going to Washington on Monday.
Oh, that's going to be a tough game. They're in Washington?
Yeah.
Loss.
Home for Florida.
That's a win.
Home for the Penguins. That's after the All-Star break. We're going to get Callahan back that night, hopefully.
And you got what? Crosby?
He might still be out.
He might still be out. Malkin? What is he, day-to-day?
Yeah.
They're due for a losing. I'm going to say win on that one.
And then
we'll get
Brent
Johnson again.
And
okay,
then the Devils at home.
Now, guys, I know you want to put, and the Devils are not making the playoffs, but they are starting to play.
Yeah, they're getting
much better.
Yeah,
Jacques
they really
Madden,
are.
They are starting to play as a team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they make a kind of like Carolina-esque run that Carolina did after that abysmal start last year. They're playing devil hockey right now. I don't know if Marty's going to hold up. I know he got the shutout the other night, but he still is not the old Marty. And but they are certainly putting together. The Islanders are completely doomed. Although
the Devils are going to play spoiler.
Yeah, how many games we got left with those idiots? Because I don't want them to play spoiler against us.
Three.
Okay.
One in February. One in February? Two in February, and then one last game of the season.
Uh-oh. Whoa! Shootout! So I think they're going to do good. I think Rangers will do well. And let's just hope we can limp to the All-Star break. And the All-Star break, I think that All-Star game is going to be fantastic the way they set it up. I mean, I'm not going to hype it up the way the NHL has. Who's going to be Mr. Obscurity or whatever that guy, you know. But I definitely think it'll be more interesting to watch, and some of the stuff that's going to go down. And a lot of people, do you pick this up? Now, do you find that Joe and Sam are anti-Avery at all?
No, I don't think so.
A lot of people think that they kind of watch Avery when he does something bad. They can't wait to say, oh, he took a bad penalty there. And if Avery
maybe more
stays,
so Joe, but I don't know. I mean, there are certainly far bigger problems on this team than Sean Avery. There's other players they could be picking on, and they don't.
Right. All right, well, I'm done bashing the Rangers announcers after a loss, which it seems to be what I like to do. And I take it out on the announcers. I'm sorry. So it's all good in my neighborhood.
So they got Atlanta and Washington on the road. Then they come home for three, Florida, Pittsburgh, and the Devils. And then they're on the road for Montreal, Detroit, and Atlanta.
Yes. What is the... What is your picks in those?
For these games coming up, or those games I just mentioned in February, the road trip?
The whole from Atlanta to Devils.
1, 2, 3, 4. They're gonna go 3-2. I think they're gonna beat Atlanta. They're gonna beat Florida. And they'll beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking.
They're kind of due to lose one to the Devils. And like you said, the Devils are starting to play a little better. And look, you know, you play them six times a year. Chances are you're going to lose one or two of them, and they're probably due. You know, they've had the better of the Devils for a while now. So, but whatever.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's the end of this thing. Another show in the books, Jimmy.
I'm reading. Hold on, I'm just checking out the chat. I vote Jim and Eddie to call New York Ranger games any takers. There's a lot of people have been saying that to me too lately. They want us to do a show during a broadcast, during a game. Excuse me. They want us to do a show during a game, and just do the announcing.
Right. Well, yeah, we could do that. I mean, I don't know who would be color and who would be play-by-play.
I don't know either. But I just think the whole thing would just turn into a mockery of an MSG broadcast as opposed to you and I actually doing play-by-play and color of a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
I just think there'd be too many. We'd just wind up doing one-liners and, you know, this game's got good pace.
Yeah, you're right. We just mimic the real bad show.
Right.
You know, just instead of being like, and Volsky takes it in the left circle, right?
I got an idea. How about you and I get to go to the Garden and broadcast the game, and then Sam and Joe do an episode of Blue Shirt Banner Radio?
We should put that on. We should propose that to them. Isn't somebody friends with none of those idiots are on Giannone's maybe if you could. I wonder if Scott Gomez is friends with Giannone on Facebook. They're both on there. Anyway, folks, I love you. You're in my heart. You're in my soul. You'll be with me when I grow old. For some reason, that sounds like a Rod Stewart song to me.
It is a Rod Stewart song.
Oh, sorry. Get out, everybody. I'm done.
All right. So we're just wrapping up. Minute to go. We'll see you guys Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Have a good weekend. Eddie, good luck to your Jets.
Yes, it's going to be interesting. I am cautiously optimistic. I am not one of these Jet fans that takes anything for granted still. But I think about it and I go, you know, they beat this team once. They've beaten Manning. They've beaten
Brady. So, you know, am I supposed to be so nuts to think they could beat Roethlisberger? And I know a lot of people are talking about Polamalu being in this game, and, you know, it's going to make a difference. But, you know, listen, if I go to the Super Bowl, we go to the Super Bowl, forget about it. I may wind up in that cardiac unit my dad's in if they go. I mean, yeah. Sorry, a little dark humor there, but that probably won't be the case. But anyway, we're good. JETS to all you Jet fans out there, and kudos to all you Giant fans that are just rooting for New York. Although I would never root for the Giants in the Super Bowl. No, I'm only kidding. I always want New York to win. I always want New York to win.
You rooted for the Giants against the Patriots, didn't you?
Oh, I always root for the Giants. I have a lot of Giant friends, so I want to see them happen. All right.
We're off the air. I'll talk to you later. All the best to your dad, all right? I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, man. Take care.
Take it easy. Good night.